as we just sang. Rosemary saw I was a little slow getting dressed, so she made you sing it a couple more times just to drum it in there, right? So amen to that. Hey, I want to have you take out your Bibles with me today. We're not going to do a long message. You might be saying amen, but we're going to do a short one. Dennis, I see you over there. So I just want to share a little bit. When we think about baptism, sometimes baptism is confusing. Like, what's it really all about? And I just want to share a few words on that this morning. But let me talk about what's happening today, right? Baptism is about identifying with Jesus. And it's about celebrating new life. And, you know, if you're a parent, you're probably saying, man, I'm looking for that new life. I can't wait to see the changes in my kids. And you will. And sometimes it might be one step forward and, you know, two back sometimes. But God is at work in your children. And God is at work in us as adults. And I want to just kind of take a minute and kind of focus on that this morning, right? And just want to kind of get this straight. You know, in mathematics, there's this thing called order of operations. Everybody ever heard that before? Anybody think about math? Order of operations. Like, it matters what you do first. You ought to multiply, divide, do those things first, subtract, plus or minus, second, right? And if you do it the reverse order, the answer is wrong. And when the answer is wrong, it doesn't do any good. And not that salvation has a formula, but the order of events matter. And what we just did today did not save anybody's child. It just demonstrated what God has already done when they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to just kind of think about today. And I said this in our YouTube little blurb that we put in there. And we want to perpetually celebrate this new life that we have in Christ. So we're going to slide through very quickly. And the eternal truth, and I always try to give this in a message, which is, you know, when you walk out of here, people say, what did the pastor say? And sometimes people go, I don't know. He has some good stories. He made us laugh. I don't know what he said. So here's what I said, or will say. You know, believers, right, are born again. We are saved, born again, through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not baptism. Baptism just shows on the outside what happened on the inside. And we identify ourselves now with Christ through water baptism, and then we celebrate this new life. And I just wrote this kind of explanatory thought. You know, through baptism, believers publicly identify themselves as followers of Christ. Like, we had a chance to see them. We heard their first name. We know who they are. We see them around church, and we're like, wow, they're part of God's family now. They've identified themselves. We go, that's our family. That's our family now forever, right? And they identify themselves not only as baptizees, but now as disciples. Or maybe in our language, we would say followers of Christ, who have died to sin with him and are raised to new life in him, in Jesus, right? And baptism publicly declares their acceptance of his loving gift of salvation through faith in Jesus. So I want to just take a couple of seconds, and I'm thinking about step one, right? Order of operations. Well, here's step one. Step one is this, right? We all need to be born again. You know, and I'll share with you, if you guys went to John chapter 3, we won't look at the whole chapter, we'll look at just one verse, and most of you don't need to look at this verse, John 3:16, right? What's it say? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, right? And if I read John chapter 3, one of the religious leaders, he came to Jesus, and he wanted to be saved, wanted to be born again. And by the way, he just wanted to be saved. He didn't even know that word, born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. His name was Nicodemus, by the way. And that statement just perplexed him. And sometimes the words we use in Christianity aren't the normal words that we say all the time. And they kind of confuse us, or they perplex us with what we really mean. But the issue is, we got to be born again. And Jesus said that. And we're born again when we trust that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary was good enough to save us. And we put our faith and trust in that. Pastor Ansu's going to help me. My mic is flapping, so he said, here, tape that thing to your face. I'm going to do that. There we go. All right, now we're better. Thank you so much. By the way, in our deacon meeting this week, they said, pastors, you know what? We got to get some mics that don't flap. So we'll hopefully be better in the days ahead, right? But we're talking about being born again. And the verse, and I put it there, is God so loved the world, right? God loved each one of us. And I mentioned about destiny because of her name. You know what? God knew destiny before destiny knew anything about God. And God called her. It says this in the book of Romans. God calls us, and then God delivers, and he saves us, and he changes us, and he is going to glorify us because we're going to be with him forever. Right? That's the key thing. So the first step, and make sure we get this right, is we got to be born again. You know, people say, what's that mean? What that means is that our spirit, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, our spirit and our ability to interact and have a relationship with God died. So like before we're saved, we're kind of like the walking dead. We really can't communicate with God. You know, we try, we might reach out, we might do religious things, but unless our spirit is made alive, the Bible uses this word quickened, it means made alive. Unless our spirit is made alive through faith and the Holy Spirit comes in and becomes a permanent resident in our life, then guess what? Our spirit stays dead and we can't relate to God. But here's the cool thing. Those children that we saw, they're not necessarily great theologians. But the salvation message of being born again is simple. And by the way, somebody quoted Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? You will be saved. Everybody look up for a second. By the way, it doesn't say, get your life cleaned up first. Get your act together first. You know, get all things fixed up and then come to church and then get saved. God comes to us and he says, just believe the way you are. You know, there's an old hymn. We don't sing it too much these days. They used to use it at crusades like Billy Graham and other places. The song was called, Just As I Am. Right? Not as I want to be, not as I wish to be, not as I hope to be, not what my parents want, not what my family members want, but I come just as I am, and when I believe, God saves me. Right? That's the key, right? And I want to encourage us, that's the first step. And I'll throw this out. That's what happened before we ever even thought about baptizing anybody. You know, we baptizing them just in the water that comes out the tap that you have in your house. It's not holy water. It's not particularly clean water. I'm sorry. But I'll throw this out in a serious way, right? How many people buy a water purifier for your house? That's funny. Why do you do that? Because it's not that pure. That water doesn't wash off sin. It may give you more dirt than you had when you started. Right? But what changes our life is faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit and that regeneration of our spirit that is dead gives us life, makes us holy, and gives us eternal hope. So we're going to move on, because I promise I wouldn't be too long, right? We got a business meeting, we got a party for the World Cup, you guys got all kinds of plans, but guess what? This is important stuff, you know why? Because if you leave here without Jesus, all bets are off for what your eternity is, right? You might win the World Cup today, but that'll only last for here, right? So the next thing is this idea of baptism, and the idea is that we are identified with Jesus. We're identified with Jesus. And that's what baptism does. Baptism says, I am with Jesus. Wow, it's pretty loud, huh? I am with Jesus. Come on. I don't know if it's waterlogged, right? No, it's not. I didn't have it on in there. So here's the thing. So people put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had 11 people that said, you know what, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose again for me. And I'm going to trust that for my salvation. And I'm going to throw this out. There is no amount of good works that any of you or me can do, or even if we collectively said we're all going to be real good so God will accept us, it's not going to be enough, right? In fact, it says this in the scriptures. It says our righteousness or our good works are like filthy rags. That's not too good. Nobody out there is in demand of those, right? So here's the deal. This idea of identifying with Jesus Christ is so key because he's the one, the Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, he's the captain or the pioneer of salvation. And it says this in the book of Matthew chapter 28, which is called the Great Commission. By the way, this is our job going forward, right? He says this, and Jesus came and he spoke to all his disciples saying, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says this, go therefore. And by the way, that word could be better translated, while you're going, while you're living your life, make disciples of all nations. And the idea is, make other people followers of Jesus like you are. You be the model. You tell them about it. You love them through the ups and the downs, and you lead them to Jesus. Right? That's the idea, right? And he says, notice the next thing he says, you make disciples, and then he says, baptizing them. I want y'all to get this. Everybody pop up. Look up for a second. Here's what he's trying to say. We baptize them. So we did this ceremony where we dip them in the water. And by the way, the ceremony has significance because when we dip them down, it's like they died with Jesus for their sins. They died in Jesus, so the penalty was paid for their sins. But you notice, by the way, most of them wanted to get out of that water pretty quick, right? You saw, by the way, Cadell, right? I don't know, Pastor Anthony, what you did to him in youth group, but he was ready to breathe, right? But the next thing is we die with Jesus, but Jesus didn't stay dead, right? He rose again from the dead, and we rise with Jesus to what? New life. New life. And all that old stuff, right? The power of that old stuff has been broken. The chains are gone. And we can live like God wants us to live, not like we did live. And many times we wanted to change, but we couldn't change because we didn't have the power. Jesus adds the power. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And he says that. He says, baptize them. And then he says, in the name of what? The Father, God, the Son, the one who died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, and this is the job that has to keep on going, teaching them to observe or to obey and do all the things that the Lord Jesus commanded them. That's our job. So you guys, today was like the starting point. We had these kids for a while, praise God, and mama do as a young adult. But now we got to teach them to do what? Follow Jesus. And sometimes, by the way, everybody look up. Some of the things when you read in the scripture and it says, you know, it says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how many of us broke that one today? Right? You know, we're worried about the price of gas, the price of everything, right? We're worried about tomorrow. We're worried about our job. We're worried about all these things. And God says, be anxious for nothing. That's something that we learn. We learn to trust God by faith. We learn to follow him. And God never lets us down. But we know that factually, but we're not quite sure he's always going to do that for us, right? So we learn that, and that's what we have to do. We got to keep teaching those things. By the way, that's what we come to church, it's not like you never heard some of these things before, but we got to be reminded that God is faithful, that his word is solid, that his word is dependable. And guess what? He's not going to change. Right? He's not going to change, right? I see a couple of you guys going, man, I'm getting really tired. So here we go. Look up. We're going to finish up. Here's the next part. Celebrating new life. By the way, what's that on the screen? What is that? Yes, yeah, it's called a monarch butterfly, right? It's beautiful, right? And by the way, it started out as this, you might like caterpillars, but for most people, they go those ugly caterpillars, right? It started out like kind of like a worm. It was in a cocoon. It was not beautiful, but look what it turned into. And that is such an illustration of new life in Jesus Christ. That's what new life looks like, right? Like new life was, we were that, and now we're that. And that's what God wants us to be, right? We're going to celebrate that new life in Christ, right? And I want to take us to the book of 2 Corinthians just briefly this morning. And check out what he says. And by the way, I know someone quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17 as well. And it says this, and just get this in your mind. By the way, if you're a parent and one of your kids were baptized, raise your hand. Okay? Cool, right? Praise God, right? We're glad for you, right? Amen to that, right? Remember, when they go home with you today, they're a new creation. Right? They're a new creation. Yeah. Amen, right? Amen. They won't always act like it, but they're a new creation, right? And by the way, you don't and I don't either, right? So it's okay, right? But they're growing, right? So he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. And think what he says, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I want to say this, I wrote it at the bottom of the page. Guess what? These folks that we baptize have a new propensity. I say, well, that's a big word. What's that mean? Our propensity, right, is usually take care of me. Take care of myself, do what I want, you know, have what I want, do all those things. But as a follower of Jesus now, our propensity isn't just please me, it's please God. So we have a new propensity. And guess what? And I didn't put this up here. I thought about this later this morning. We have a new perspective. And our perspective is hope. Our perspective on earth is just like, oh. You know, people say expression like, you know, life is terrible and then we die. That's an awful perspective. That might be the world's perspective. That might be a human perspective. But God's perspective is we are going up. We are getting better. We are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the best is yet to come. Even if we die, the best is yet to come. Right? And by the way, all us old people are going like, amen. You know, we're going to be leaving soon. So we're looking for something better. Right? We're not looking for, this guy in our church used to say this, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker, amen. Right? And that's the case, that's what we're looking for. And he says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses or their sin to them who has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let me step back. What is he saying there? Here's what he's saying. Not only do we have a new propensity, let me say the second part, we got new power. How many times have you said, I'm never going to do that again? Anybody ever say that? You know, sometimes we'll pray, God, forgive me, I'm never going to do it again. Tomorrow, God, it's me again. I'm never going to do it again. Tuesday, God, it's me. I'm never going to do it again. Right? But I throw this out. You know what? In the Holy Spirit, God has given us the power to overcome the things that we can't overcome. And that might be addiction. That might be, you know, some other issue that you wrestle with. We all got our own issues. Everyone has their own propensities to sin and do the wrong thing in various ways and various places. But God has given us the power to break those chains. Right? And then God has given us a new purpose. The purpose isn't just feel good, do what you want, have what you want. The purpose is now, and he says, look at verse 20. First, he talks about this idea of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what our job is today? Is to tell all you guys that there's hope for your life. And reconciliation is kind of like, anybody do a bank reconciliation where you get your checkbook to agree with the bank? By the way, don't we hate that answer sometimes? It's like, my checkbook says I got, you know, $1,000, and the bank says I got $5, right? But what's happened here is God is reconciling you to him in our relationship, right? And he fixes what's broken. And then look at verse 20. He says this in terms of our purpose. He says, now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Everybody look up and I'll be finished. Everybody look up today. You know what? I don't know where half of you are or all of you are, but here's the deal. God is pleading through the testimonies that you heard. God is pleading through the songs that were sung. God is pleading through the words of Pastor Ansu, Mr. Boyer. God's pleading with you. You know what he's saying? Come to Jesus because it's the place of hope. And he said, you're ambassadors for Christ. He's the only way there's really hope. He's the only way to overcome all this stuff. And he says, we implore you. In other words, it's like, we are literally on our knees. We're begging you, please, please, please look to Jesus. Right? That's the idea, right? That's what it means to implore. It means, Lord, please save these people and people look to Jesus. And by the way, that's what those people did today that we baptized. And he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And here's the point. Check out what he says. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus was perfect. He never sinned to be the sin offering for you and me. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might be part of the family of God. Right? New life. New life looks pretty good, doesn't it? So I leave you with the thought, and we're going to close out today. Where are you in the process? And here's my thought. Some of you guys are saying, you know, I never got baptized. I probably ought to do that. The first step is what? Tell me what it is. Be born again, right? The second step is, in obedience, follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Identify with him. Tell everybody else, I'm going to follow Jesus. If it looks weird to you, that's what I'm doing. I'm following Jesus, right? And then the next part is become a disciple. Follow Jesus. Grow. Grow in his grace. Grow in his knowledge. Be taught. Learn. And then teach others and be that instrument of an ambassador of Christ who is trying to reconcile everybody else back to God. Amen? That's the idea. Celebrate that new life. And I'll throw this out. Wherever you are in the process, maybe you haven't started the process, you know what? God's waiting for you. If you're somewhere in the middle of the process, if you're already born again, God's trying to help you grow. He's trying to convict you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you break the chains of sin that maybe are holding you up. He's there waiting for you today. So I just encourage you, praise God for the ones who now are part of the family of God. They're beginning their journey, right? They've identified with Christ. But we got to say, you know what, as we watch these things, what about me? Where am I at? And until we leave this earth, we can continue to grow in God's grace. And I encourage you to do that. So we're going to ask our praise team to come. I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here today. And I just pray, dear God, that you would just work in all of our hearts. Father, help us to rejoice in the great things that you've done already. And I pray, dear God, that you would just work in each one of us. Draw us, Lord, closer to you, whatever that means, Lord, in the process. If we need to be born again, Lord, if we need to be baptized, if we need to continue to grow in your grace as a disciple. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. us please stand together as we sing, My Life is in You. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's a weak amen.
Amen.
My life is in You. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Put your faith in Jesus Christ, today is the best day to try. If you need help, grab me or Pastor Ansley, we'll be at the door. Or grab your neighbor, everyone be here, be like saying, hey, welcome to the family. We want to help you get into the family. But we want to encourage you. That's the first start. I want to ask our kids and our adults that were baptized, would you guys go to the back? We want to just take a minute to greet you. And folks can just say hi to you as you leave. So just get up and just hop there to the back. And if you're a visitor, we have a little gift for you. So you can just see us in the back, right in the little conference room. We have a gift for you today. We're so thankful that you're here. And we're going to pray for Psalm as he gets ready to go to the military, right? This week. And our food pantry is open. And if you're a First Baptist Church member, right, our business meeting is going to start in just a few minutes. It's not going to be long. We're just going to share financial results, talk about where we're going, get ready for VBS, and then we'll get out of here, okay? So just come on right back. Grab your kids. Come on right back. We'll finish that up, and we'll greet the rest of you as we leave. So we're going to ask Pastor Ansley to just close us out with a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross that gave us hope. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate the newness of life, oh God, through you. We thank you for all of our candidates, oh God, that got baptized today. We lift them into your hands, Lord, that you continue to guide them each step of the way, Lord. Guide their hearts, guide their thoughts, guide their steps, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you will take control of them. We thank you for our dear brother, Sam, oh God, who will be leaving to go for his training, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you go with him, be with him, guide him, and Lord, your protection be upon him each step of the way. We just thank you, Lord, and that you will use him for your glory while he's there, Lord. We just lift our entire time unto you, even our visitors and friends that came to worship, families. We say, may you just guide them, Lord. Take them to their respective home, Lord, and bring us back Sunday where we will just glorify you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.